If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV in Richmond. You can check us out on 910 The Fan or on the FM side, 105.1. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Bish, Cake, CB, and JP still to come. Kevin Sheehan's going to join us, our colleague from the Team 980. He's on from 10 to 1. He's going to jump on with us, talk to us about the Terps a little bit, give us his perspective. Somebody tweeted me, he was a big Willard mark. So I don't know how he feels about Willard now, but we can talk to Sheehan about that coming up in about 15 minutes. Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, will join us at 9 o'clock. The NFL owners meetings, they talk about rules a lot. And a couple things have been tabled. The biggest headline was the tush push. Mm-hmm. Were they going to ban the tush push? They have kicked the can down the road.
What does that tabled mean? It. They just said we'll deal with it next year? So we got another year
more, There's more meetings in May. I think May 20th and 21st. So they may revisit it then.
Well, why? Let's just deal with it now, one way or the other.
Maybe the people that really want to outlaw it, they didn't have enough. They did. You know, the
is it true they
like on Congress, what do they call the people that keep track of votes? The whips?
Yeah,
they
couldn't whip enough votes.
Yeah, 16 NFL teams apparently supported it, according to ESPN's Kalen Kaler.
Somebody told me, is this wrong? It must be wrong. They only needed 25% support?
No, you need 24 out of 32, so 75.
Yeah, 24 out of 32, okay. Okay.
So they have basically half the league is willing, according to ESPN, is willing to ban it.
So they'll vote again or try to vote again.
So you can't vote until you have the votes, and then don't have the votes.
Yeah.
I'm guessing
they're not going to get the votes in May either.
We have audio of Dan Quinn, Commander's head coach, talking about it during the meetings.
I think I spend more of my time thinking of ways to stop it, and which is fun too. But as far as like plays go, you know, that's really what you know the competition committee is for, to look into things and say which you know is better. Do we change? Do we leave things the same? And so it's for that. It's also for ideas like on kickoff, which I'm really pumped that we decided as a league to put in kickoff, you know, and I thought it gave our team a lot of energy, and I thought it is also good for the league. So I hope that trend really continues in a strong way. We've proven that we can do it safer, and that was like a number one goal. And so the fact that that was accomplished first.
So he's alluding to the change in kickoff, and I think what they did is they moved the spot. If you down the kick, it's going to be the 35. You start at the 35. So it's incentive for the kicking teams, I guess, to not kick it out of the end zone.
Right.
To kick it in the landing zone.
Make them return.
To encourage kick, to avoid touchbacks.
Right.
Because you're giving up 5 yards.
And I think they projected, I mean, these are projected, but they projected the kick returns, which were down to like 15 to 20%, to jump to somewhere between like 55 and 60%.
And they also...
Drabby, you should see a lot more kickoff returns.
You might know this, but they also tweaked the rule where they, the return team, how they are aligned to block, like the setup. How did they do that? So what I'm reading is they've tweaked it so the setup zone could lead to longer returns. I'm not sure exactly what that means.
I'm not really sure either.
Yeah, so they tweaked that too.
As for the tush push, the Eagles are the team that's affected the most by it. I've said it. I actually kind of feel like they're just getting hoarded. Like, imagine if Cliff Kingsbury cooked up a play this year for Jaden Daniels that the league couldn't stop. You know, some sort of read option and then whatever. He flips it to the other side of the field, and they're the only team that can do it super successfully. The Eagles scored 27 touchdowns and had 92 first downs in the last 3 years using the tush push. Scored 11 touchdowns on it with 32 first downs during their Super Bowl run this past season. And it's like the league is saying, we can't stop it, so let's take it. Let's get rid of it. And Sirianni said it's akin to this quarterback sneak.
Except for the whole pushing stuff.
Yes.
I wish they would do... like,
but they're not getting the votes, so maybe these teams that aren't voting or are voting against it still think it's, you know, they can use it, and it's beneficial to them, too.
I guess.
I mean, it's beneficial to Buffalo.
I would guess all of the NFC East teams that are facing it twice a year
maybe
are
not
voting
them.
Against it.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize this until Dan said that in the interview, was that he has to devote a lot of time and resources on how to stop this one play. You only have so many hours in a week to prepare for a team.
Right.
And if you're devoting a lot of your man hours to stop one play, that's a huge advantage for the Eagles.
He hasn't seen the video that you put out on how to stop the tush.
Invite me to Ashburn. I'll show exactly how to stop it.
You could be a commander's consultant.
I could be.
You get down on your back.
Yes.
In leg press position.
Leg press position.
And you push.
Yeah.
With your
you push back.
With your cleats.
They're doing a tush push, and you're pushing
it's
back.
It's very unorthodox, but I don't hate it.
Hey, it's Frankie leverage. All leverage.
Frankie Luvu was doing the missile theory. Just
That's
launch
right.
yourself like a missile. Problem is he didn't time it right.
So they also changed the overtime rules as a... you know,
what is it now?
Well, it's like it is in the postseason where each team gets a possession. So if the first team scores a touchdown, the game would be over.
That's
in
gone
in the regular season.
Yeah,
it's gone. So the regular season is now like the postseason.
So everyone's going to get at least a chance to touch it once.
Correct.
I mean, I guess I like that.
That seems fair.
I guess. But the idea was to kind of...
because if you go down in the regular season before, if you went down and kicked a field goal, well, the other team also had a chance to...
but they were trying to reward defense. Like, you actually made a decent stop.
Yeah.
Then, you know.
Yeah, but, you know, it's fair that both teams get an opportunity.
If they just completely then they shoved it on you, they deserve the dub. I guess not anymore.
Because you're at the mercy of the coin flip.
Well, not if you play great defense, though.
Oh, I know, but if you could play a great defense. What if it's a fluke? You know, it's a fluky play, and they score a touchdown. I think it's good that they are giving both teams an opportunity to score. And then the other thing that they did was, they have the replay assist. So replay will now be involved in some of these calls, these objective calls from refs, like face masks, like running into the kicker, running into the punter, horse collar. All of that was an objective call from the referees. Well, now they can go to replay to see if he actually did grab the horse collar.
Hip drop tackle, is that going to be in the mix too?
I think that's only great.
Hip drop, I don't know. But maybe.
But that's only if a flag is thrown.
Flag has to be thrown, yeah.
So So like you catch a ball and someone blatantly grabs your face mask, no flag's thrown, you can't replay assist and repeat.
So what could end up happening is the guys are just flag happy. And they're just like, if they don't know, they're just going to throw the flag and let the replay official worry about it. That could
happen. The problem with that, like, I remember, I think it was a Vikings game late in the season where Sam Darnold got face masked, like a vicious face mask. There was no flag thrown, and it wasn't called.
Right.
So in this case.
Same thing. You'd have the same thing.
Was that the one in the end zone?
I think it was in the end zone.
Yeah.
So in this case, you still wouldn't be able to go back and rectify that because no flag was thrown?
If there's no flag, yes.
I don't like that.
What about this scenario? What about a quarterback scrambles out of the pocket is still in bounds and gets hit, but a flag is thrown, but he was still in bounds. Could you review that both feet of the quarterback were in play when contact was made from the defender?
I mean, if it's a subjective call, I guess you could, if that's what they're looking to do with the replay assist.
I think one thing you're going to like is the chain gang is now just the backup. They're
right,
going to spotting the ball.
The Hawkeye technology.
Yes.
And explain what the Hawkeye technology. Is that actually like a chip in the ball? Do we
I'm
know
not
exactly,
sure
what, the,
exactly
the
what that entails? The only issue
wait,
with that
is... It just says here that the method for measuring first downs will switch from chain gangs to camera-based technology.
Right.
The traditional chain crew will remain on the sidelines in a secondary capacity.
But what the Hawkeye technology doesn't do is spot the ball. Spotting the ball is still a big deal. Because you can have all of the Hawkeye technology. It's still a human that's spotting the ball.
It's true.
So that's still
they
something.
But they can review it, though.
I mean, I guess. But there's still going to be potential for human error with the ball spot. The Hawkeye technology does not completely fix that problem.
All right.
Yes.
So I'm not sure if I'm following then.
The chain gang just measures from wherever it was spotted.
I understand
10
the
yards.
Chain gang. That's irrelevant to me now.
Yeah.
Explain to me.
The referee's got to go in and if somebody gets tackled and
the ref's got to go spot
right.
it.
Remember.
But why can't they
remember the controversial spot?
I'm just reading something from this is from Frank.
Remember
Schwab.
The controversial spot in the Bills game?
Yes.
One of the referees, like on one side of the field, came in and it looked like it was a first down, and the other guy was like a yard shorter.
Understood. Why does the Hawkeye technology not clear that up?
This is from Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. Mm-hmm. He says, "Feel the need to say this again. This does not solve anything we complain about. It practically never happens that the chain gang incorrectly measures whether it's a first down or not. It's the spot of the ball that's the concern."
So
we're talking about when the play is
done,
when the play is over, like where does the ref run in and spot the ball?
No,
like,
I understand that.
I don't think the Hawkeye technology
has nothing to do with that.
I don't think it completely solves that issue.
I've never had an issue with the chain gang guy malfunctioning on pulling the chain to the 10 yards.
They want to speed it up, apparently.
They're only using
Speed it up so that you don't have these old guys out there for 2 minutes.
You'll hardly ever see it.
Yes.
They're only using it to measure the first down, the 1 inch or the 2 inch,
right,
to see if it's a first round instead of having the donks run out on the field.
Well, they should have. Why
so
don't
just
they
like
use...
in tennis with the Hawkeye, it's got all these high speed cameras up above, so they're shooting down at the field, and they can tell from a mile away if that's a first down or not.
Okay, that's fine. Why aren't they using that to help with the spot too?
Because I think a lot of the spot might be partial judgment. A lot of times, I don't know.
Maybe eventually, if it's like forward progress, for example.
Yeah.
It's going to be judgment by somebody.
Yeah, then it's not.
The camera's not going to know.
Then it's not going to help anything.
When the knee goes down.
No, it's still an issue.
It's not going to help anything.
You're going to see ref spot balls, and you're going to be like, what is that guy doing?
Yeah.
He's spotting it either yard forward or yard back where it should be.
Yeah, that's going to happen. But they'll have the cameras. They'll have six big cameras overlooking the field. Maybe eventually they will use that, the Hawkeye, for all of those calls. But this year, they're not going to use it for the spot.
But I like the kickoff rule. Of all the rules, I don't love watching the tush push. I feel like it's a wimpy way out by these teams. Learn to stop it. But of all the rules, I like that they're going to make, I think, it harder to just kick the ball out of bounds. Unless you're a defense that just says, okay, go ahead, start at the 35,
right,
which I don't think many coaches are going to want teams to start at the 35. I mean, two first downs are in field goal range.
Yeah, coaches are not going to want that.
So I like that we're going to see more kickoff returns.
I like kickoff returns. I didn't think it was a big issue
become,
at this point.
They've become pretty much neutralized over the last 10 or 15 years.
Now they're still doing kind of that XFL bit where the guys line up.
That's fine.
In a different spot.
I, you know what? It took me half of a season to get used to it.
Yeah.
Now it looks normal to me.
What I hate is they ruined onside kicks. I get sites for onside kicks. The possibility, I think they've ruined it.
Even at their height.
Why? Because they've got to let the team know that they're doing it.
Got to let them know. There's no surprise element.
Right, and there's a fourth quarter element to it, too.
I used to like how you could actually even do it a couple times. and it wouldn't hold. They wouldn't hold it against you. I don't know. They just made it so hard now.
Didn't they?
It's like impossible.
Didn't they originally change the kickoff rules because they didn't want as many returns because guys were getting hurt? So they were trying to cut down on injuries.
Yes.
For the returners.
Yes. But now they think they figured out a way that they can make the collisions not quite as violent.
So now they're saying, okay, we want returns back.
Yes. But
essentially.
But not as violent.
They want more action and more scoring.
Tell that to Austin Eckler.
Huh?
Yeah, I know. Eckler got pummeled.
I've never seen a guy hit so hard.
He got pwned.
Yeah. So I don't know what the number of injuries were on returns, but now it looks like you're going to get more injuries on returns now if teams are forced to kick it inside the landing spot.
Mm-hmm. It's a violent game.
It is, I know.
800-636-1067 is the number if you want to chime in. You can also text us on the Lido Pizza text line. Coming up next, we're going to get back to what the University of Maryland did. They hired a new head basketball coach. His name is Buzz Williams. He's replacing Kevin Willard. Kevin Sheehan, huge Terps fan, our colleague on the Team 980 from 10 to 1. He'll join us next here on the Junkies.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back, Chuckies, coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV in Richmond. Appreciate you checking us out on 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's our colleague Kevin Sheehan, host of the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, 10 to 1. What's up, Kevin?
What's up, boys?
What's up? I guess it was about a week ago you had Coach Willard on the show. Curious, what was your overall impression afterwards? At that moment, did you think he was going to stay at Maryland? Because you asked him a really good question. Like, if you basically said something like, if you got everything that you want, are you going to stay here? And I was kind of convinced he was going to.
Yeah, I mean, he said yes when I asked him that. But I still had, I still had a feeling that there was a chance that he would go. And I think part of it was that I think, you know, a lot of Maryland fans have known that the situation really for the last two coaches hasn't been great. You know, the perception from the outside, you know, basketball first school, basketball super important. Maryland is, you know, a top 10, top 15 job, you know, maybe not a top 10, top 15 program anymore. But I think there have just been issues out there that have been a problem for multiple coaches in a row. So I wasn't sure, but I you know, certainly wasn't expecting, you know, him to be adamant about, hey, if I get what I want, I'm staying and then leave. That probably wasn't the way to do it, clearly.
Do you think Willard underestimated how difficult it would be to have to share the pie with a Big Ten football program when he took the job at Maryland 3 years ago? Because clearly it's something that bothered him.
Yeah, I don't think that's it. I think everybody understands football drives the bus, you know, in the SEC and in the Big Ten pretty much everywhere. You know, with rev share being becoming a part of it, it's about getting, you know, enough to be competitive combined with NIL money. Maryland was not the worst in the Big Ten in terms of NIL, but they were nowhere near the top. I think, you know, when he got here, if anything, he felt like if this is, you know, a real basketball school and the people really love basketball and Maryland's a national championship program, I would imagine that we'll have, you know, the money to pay players. And, you know, it was always a struggle to get up towards the top of that league. And some of the other big basketball schools around the country and NIL money. So I don't know what he thought when he got here, but it wasn't, you know, a place ultimately that he wanted to stay at. And it's similar to the last coach.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, you know, I don't know what the relationship between Buzz Williams and Trev Alberts, the AD. Alberts hasn't been there very long, but my guess is it's kind of soured, even though it was a short-term relationship. But now Buzz, and I don't know what kind of money he was getting at A&M in terms of...
No, it was like over $7 million or something.
No,
NIL.
Yeah, I'm talking about the money for the program. Is he going to be dealing with the same thing Kevin Willard's going to be dealing with?
I hope not. I think that one of the things that may have been accomplished here in the last week and a half, no matter how ugly it got, you know, from, you know, especially Kevin's side, is that, you know, I think Maryland understands to be, you know, a major player consistently at the top of the sport, a sport that's become incredibly transactional in year to year. You know, they've got to have, you know, the top end spending money, at least in their league. And Kevin got what he wanted, you know, minus the AD. There was no AD. It was going to take time to hire an AD. And maybe the athletic department as it stands right now isn't necessarily what he wanted. But I think it would have been an AD that was more basketball friendly. But I think in a weird way, him leaving and the way he left may have left the place in a better position for the next guy. Mm-hmm. We'll see, but I think that's going to be true.
I think that makes sense. What was was that the attraction then for Buzz? Why did Buzz, you know, especially having no AD, I was kind of surprised that he was so quick to throw his name in the hat. And, you know, maybe Jason's right. Maybe he and Trev just hated each other. And, you know, you got to get along with your AD. It's hard to do that long term if you're not getting along great. But what was the attraction for Buzz?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jason nailed it. And I think it's been maybe the case in three different places that there's a bit of a high burn rate with him, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's from his end or the school's end. You know, it was, you know, 6 years at Marquette, 5 years at Virginia Tech, 6 years at Texas A&M. And that's the rap that he's had, mm-hmm. is that he gets into a job and within a couple of years, he's looking for his next job. Mm-hmm. So he was available as much probably because he wanted out as maybe the school was ready to move on from him. So, you know, it was good timing for Maryland, given how bad the timing was in the way it unfolded with Kevin Willard, that somebody with Buzz Williams' resume was actually available.
Yeah.
Because they could have really been in a tough spot heading into next year. But I think that Buzz Williams leaving Texas A&M, I don't know if there's like massive tears in College Station. that he's leaving. That doesn't mean he's not a good coach. He is a good coach with a really good resume, and Maryland's getting themselves a coach that perhaps, you know, 48 hours ago, there was no guarantee they could get resume-wise.
Yeah. Right. I think at the end of the day, listen, what remains to be seen, I think it might be an upgrade at the end of the day for the Terps.
He's, you know, if you watched him over the years, stylistically, and Maryland fans may not love this, but it's defense, it's, you know, it's rebounding, and we just watched a team this year that averaged over 80 points a game and was free-flowing and shot a bunch of threes, had, you know, big guys inside out, and by the way, defended well as also. But there is some similarity in style of play to the way Mark Turgeon coached, which was very successful, too, in terms of wins and tournament appearances. But, you know, that's what you're going to get. I had somebody tell me yesterday, he said, look, the guy's a little bit different. He's a little bit quirky, but he's a grinder and he wins. And he's going to win at Maryland. So, you know, for Maryland fans, there's been a lot of winning. It just hasn't happened in March.
Yeah.
You know, until this year they got to the Sweet 16. And even the Sweet 16 under Gary, people used to complain that the Sweet 16 wasn't anywhere near good enough.
Totally.
But that'll be ultimately the judge because it's a March sport.
Isn't it ironic that Turgeon leaves A&M and comes to Maryland and then a few years later, well, it was a while, but Buzz leaves A&M to come to Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, it was his. It was Turge's, you know, second stop. It was Buzz's, you know, third stop. And Buzz is older than Kevin Willard and Mark Turgeon were when they took the Maryland job. But yeah, College Station to College Park.
Yep. Why do we not have more Maryland blood in the coaching pipeline? It seemed like the only guy that we were strongly potentially considering was Dwayne, and God love Dwayne, but only 2 years as a head coach. It might have been a little early for him. I feel like we should have more guys in the pipeline than we do.
Yeah, I haven't given that a lot of thought, but you're right. It's not like there's a huge tree out there off of the last few coaches. I mean, yeah, you have Sarunas Yesikavicius, who's been an unbelievable coach internationally and was an unbelievable coach. Unbelievable player at internationally, but that's probably the most accomplished guy, I think.
That would have been a great hire. I would have been up for that if he would have been.
Yeah, I don't know if that was even considered. I don't think it was.
No. Yeah.
By the way, speaking of that, do we know any other names that were seriously considered other than Buzz Williams? Is that starting to leak out?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Like target Buzz the whole time.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if a Luke Murray was certainly considered. A Byington out of Vanderbilt may have been, you know, considered. A Tony Skin maybe, but I don't know anything for sure. I do think that for whatever reason, you know, Maryland never thinks super big. You know, they didn't think super big when they hired Mark. Mark was a solid hire, but, you know, that wasn't a big swing. Sean Miller, I think, in the moment would have been a big swing, and I guess they did think big because they got close, and then he looked kind of at the athletic department and the way it was structured and got out of Dodge quickly. And then with Kevin Willard, you know, Rick Pitino was out there. They didn't consider it this time. A guy like Chris Beard is out there. I understand there's some baggage, but they typically don't, for whatever reason, think big. I wish they would, but again, right now, it was kind of hard to think big considering the timing of the way everything went
down. Do we know who the ultimate voice was in making the decision, or was it a group of people?
I would certainly suggest that the school president ultimately made the final call on this.
Was Gary involved?
Yeah, I think Gary was definitely involved, part of the committee and part of the advisory group on this.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they'd be nuts not to, right?
Mm-hmm. Do you think Buzz got any assurances, or is his contract so sort of like locked down that he could maybe have say on the AD? Or like, what do you think? It's just that aspect of him coming here without knowing who ultimately his boss is going to be is wild.
Yeah, which tells you a little bit about his situation at Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. You know, that he was, you know, on he was looking to get out. Maybe they were looking to move on. So yeah, there's a bit of that in play here. It doesn't erase the fact that the guy's won at every level. His players have liked him, and he's a really good basketball coach. But for whatever reason, after 5 or 6 years, it turns pretty stale for whatever reason with him. Mm-hmm. And that's been the pattern. Hopefully at 52 years old, being, you could argue, at the best basketball job he's been at. Marquette is certainly very good, but you know, Texas A&M isn't Maryland is in terms of a basketball program or pedigree. Virginia Tech isn't. You know, maybe this will be a place where he can finally settle that down and hang out for more than 5 or 6 years. And to your point, and we, I think a lot of Maryland people are hoping that what they decided to step up and offer Kevin to stay, you know, is in place consistently for the next coach.
I wonder how many of the A&M players he's going to bring here.
I know. Yeah,
that's, I'm guessing there's going to be multiple.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people thought, oh, my God, you know, the program's damaged forever. That's just not what the sport is now. You know, the sport, Maryland was had a losing record last year. They ended up in the Sweet 16 with a completely different team this year. You can turn it around in a year. I mean, this is transactional. It's year to year now in college basketball. And getting somebody like Buzz Williams gives you a chance to be competitive next year. Let's see what happens. I think Rodney Rice is the first guy Maryland fans would say, God, figure out a way to pay him, you know, $1.5 million to $2 million to keep him. You know, he's all Big Ten, you know, potential next year. The big guy Payne from A&M, who had big games in the tournament, he had played at Minnesota. He's got a year left. So, you know, let's see if anybody comes with Buzz Williams. He was obviously working the portal already, working recruiting already. So this always happens with coaches who are coaching and are head coaches, where you see a lot of the guys they were dealing with end up coming with them.
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, when do you do your schedule release, your predicted schedule release?
The schedule comes out like in mid-May, so I guess I'll figure it out right around, you know, May 1st or somewhere around there.
A mock schedule, very good, love it.
We figured out a little. We figured out a little pool. We did this last year. We did a little pool where you get points for, and we put $10 in it each, and you get points for landing the team in a certain week. Or landing a team in a certain month. We figured that out just to make it more interesting, huh?
He's a pro at it.
Yeah, well, he can be in our pool if he wants.
That's the point, is I'm not a pro at it. It doesn't typically work out for me, but it's, you know, it's fun to consider it. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but Christmas Day is a triple header this year.
Yeah.
So you got Thanksgiving and Christmas with three games each. Yeah. Washington's going to play on one of those 2 days.
Oh, 100%. Is Washington going to play overseas?
I think Madrid's a possibility against Miami.
Yeah, right. That'd be interesting, too.
All right, they also, Kevin.
They also play the Chargers, right, who play in Brazil.
They play in Brazil, correct.
Yeah.
Now, if they play in Brazil, the kickoff time won't be much different, if at all, right? But if they play in Madrid, they're going to be kicking off at 9:30.
Last year when the Packers played the Eagles, I think that was like an 8 p.m. kickoff.
But if they play in Madrid, you got to get up early.
Definitely going to be different.
Yeah, it's a Sunday. The Madrid is the Sunday morning.
Correct.
And the Brazil is the Friday night thing.
Friday night.
Opening weekend. Yeah.
That's like the one European country Jason's been to, right? Spain? You went to Italy, too.
I've been to Spain and Italy. That's it. And I'm good. I'm tapped out.
You've had enough.
I'm tapped out.
He used a sponsor back in the day for his honeymoon, right? Spanair.
No,
smart. Yes, he did.
Yeah,
smart guy.
Of course.
Oh, God.
Who wouldn't take advantage of that? Free airfare over there.
Did you haggle with the sponsor?
Probably.
For more?
That's just the way I am.
Chances are high, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think I put them out of business because they weren't. I don't think they were a sponsor the following year.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it, buddy.
Boys.
All right, buddy.
You can listen to the Kevin Sheehan Show 10 till 1 right after us on the Team 980.
Almost.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
As much joy as Commanders fans get from the wins, they enjoy the misery of the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, I mean, it's been their longtime biggest rival, so sure, you want to see your rival do poorly.
Have you followed the latest from the Micah Parsons negotiations?
My understanding is that they're kind of close. At least that's what Jerry's saying, right?
Well, Jerry said he doesn't worry about agents and contract talks. Said he's been having conversations directly with Micah Parsons about his next deal. He said Micah is one of very few people who have his cell number. Micah Parsons then took to social media and said, facts, David is the best, that's his agent, and I will not be doing any deal without David Mulugeta.
That okay. guy's done a lot of big deals. I believe he's also Deshaun Watson's agent, and he's got a lot of high-profile guys.
That's all you need to say.
Micah went on to say,
a lot of big deals.
He said, like anyone with good sense, I hired experts for a reason. There is no one I trust more when it comes to negotiating contracts than David. There will be no back doors in this contract.
Right.
Kind of embarrassing that Jerry Jones put it out there.
What do you mean?
Well, just he's like blustering and kind of like bragging a little bit. Says he doesn't even know the agent's name and kind of seems like Micah got a little perturbed.
Well, I mean, just
and Clarence Hill Jr. went on to then tweet, he's been involved with the Cowboys for many years. Jerry Jones, blatant disrespect to Micah Parsons' agent, David Mulugeta. The agent is not a concern here. I don't know his name. That's what Jerry Jones said. And then Clarence Hill said, Mulugeta is one of the best and most respected agents in the NFL. Parsons is wise to have hired him.
Well, look at just listen to some of the guaranteed money he's gotten his clients. Deshaun Watson, $230 million guaranteed. Christian Wilkins from the Dolphins, $110 million guaranteed. Derwin James, $85 million guaranteed. He just did T. Higgins deal. J.C. Horn just signed a massive deal. Like, this guy's a power player in the league.
All that being said, I wouldn't sleep on the Cowboys being back in the playoff mix just because they're going to get Dak Prescott back. And the year before, Dak Prescott was runner-up to the MVP, and they won a bunch of games. And before last season started, they were one of the favorites to win the NFC East.
You mean Dak Prescott maybe the third best quarterback in the NFC East at this point? That Dak Prescott?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not as optimistic about the Cowboys' chances as you are.
He likes the Giants and the Cowboys to make the playoffs.
I think they both have chances, sure.
Well, aren't the Giants, don't they have the lowest win total in all for all the
projected win total
in Vegas, like 3.5 wins?
Yeah.
You think that team's going to make the playoffs?
Unlikely, but what I said is there will be a team that everybody is disrespecting that will become a playoff team. The Commanders were one of those teams last year.
Yeah. They have a better quarterback than the Cowboys have. I'm going to bet on either. I would bet that the Cowboys and the Giants both miss the playoffs in 2025. I think they're both a mess.
It's probably a good bet, but who knows? I mean, the Cowboys, like you said, if Dak can stay healthy, anything can happen. The Giants just don't have the overall talent that you need, especially at the quarterback position. Hey, what did you guys think of Peter Schrager leaving the NFL Network for ESPN? I wonder what kind of money he's getting.
I just saw what he's going to be doing. He's basically going to be a contributor on every show. He's an NFL guy.
Yeah.
He's going to be contributing on like their NFL Live show, on SportsCenter, on McAfee, on First Take. He's just going to be their NFL correspondent,
their NFL
plus, of course, their .com stuff and podcasts.
Well, he was with Good Morning Football on NFL Network, and then he was also with Fox on game day in the studio. I don't know what kind of money.
I know his name. Is he like a highly coveted guy? Remember,
he's
like,
good.
His claim to fame is he's buddies with Cliff Kingsbury. Right?
Okay.
You would know what he looked like if you saw his face.
I know who he is. Oh, I know who we're talking about. Like,
I think all the NFL guys know him. Like, he seems to be he's chummy with a lot of the coaches.
Yeah, he seems like he's got the inside scoop on a lot of stuff.
They all seem to like him. He's got kind of a likable persona. Hey, Cakes, this is a separate issue.
All right.
You are the biggest purchaser of beer on the show. You often talk about going to the beer store.
This is correct.
Do you have a breaking point because of tariffs? Some people are expecting some beer to be as much as $20 for a six-pack.
Ooh.
Well, that would be imported beer.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
Well, then
no. He's not.
Not just imported beer. This like article was a local article that talks about how ingredients like hops come from Canada.
We can't grow hops in the United States.
No, of course we do, but I think a lot of them use them from Canada or whatever.
Okay.
And a local brewery is saying that their price of their six-pack. Now, this is not like your Bud Lights, is, you know,
right? Like a craft beer, sure.
Six pack is going to go from $12.99 up to $18.99.
Well, people aren't going to buy
it. That's a substantial increase.
I mean, some people will, but most people will pick another six pack.
What would you do? So, when we were in Atlanta, there's every day you're there for a tournament. There's a 2-hour break at one point. So usually you play 3 games a day. There's a 1 hour you play. There's a 1 hour break you play. And then 1 hour break, and then sometimes there's a 2 hour break. Okay, pretty much every day there's a 2 hour break. I may have said that wrong, but we often will go together for lunch, beers, and we went to a spot right next to the College Hall of Fame that's right there, and beers were a basic beer was $13, I guess, for a small.
Okay,
and
that's
then
just
it was
12
like,
ounces.
I get I
that's
don't know.
Aggressive.
And then it was $18 to $19 for like a big ass mug.
I'm gonna guess the small is probably 16 ounces.
Probably.
And but then still, that's a lot.
The other, I don't know how big it was, but it was freaking. It was a big mug like this.
Yeah.
And they asked me, "What do you want?" And I didn't really like beer that much, and I just was like, "I guess I'll get the big."
Is that all they had?
Why don't you just get your Jack and Diet?
I just wanted to be low key. I don't know. I didn't want to buy like 2 of those or, you know, I don't know. I didn't know what to do. So I got like a $19 big ass mug.
Proud of you. I'm very proud of your move.
That probably put you to sleep. It probably kind of put you to sleep.
Maybe, I don't know. It was the middle of the day. But what would you have ordered?
I would order the bigger one.
You would order the big one
100%,
always?
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if it's more economical.
If it was like 18, 19 bucks for a stupid beer,
a better deal.
I don't even really like beer.
I don't think I could buy, going back to this story, I don't think I could buy a 6-pack of beer for more than 12.
If I'm into the 20s for beer, it better be a 12 pack.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, what are you going to do, Cake? So you're a 2-beer night guy. We know you don't drink the swill. You got a refined palate.
I have
the craft brews.
I do.
So you're used to paying $12 right now for a 6 pack.
Here's the deal.
You go to Harry Teets and it's $19.
Well, still I wish I could buy it there. I can only buy it at Safeway, though. I think the Harry Teeter at some point is going to have wine and beer.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do what people are doing with eggs. You know what? I like eggs. I know they're expensive.
You're just going to buy it?
I still buy them. Okay. I think I got 18 eggs at Costco for $6.50. I think that's
cakes actually, doesn't worry about money.
It's actually a pretty good deal, but I'm not going to stop buying eggs just because they're more expensive. I just look at it and say,
okay,
well,
you
that
might,
sucks, but
you might.
I'm still going to buy eggs.
A lot of people are going to say, I'm going elsewhere and I'm going to buy a cheaper beer. I'm not spending $20 for a six pack.
I mean, I might.
But Cakes
cut a
doesn't
corner.
Care. Cakes is spending $1,000 on a Caps game that he's probably not going to see Ovi score in. I mean, he just doesn't care. He'll just spend.
Yeah, he just wants to be caught up in the.
That's an experience.
Yeah, it's an experience with my kids. It's fun road trip.
Yeah,
it'll be a good time.
Long Island's awesome.
I've never been. Well, I think I've been a long time ago.
There are parts of Long Island that are silly. You would love
not
it.
Where he's going.
No, going I know where he's going.
Elmont, New York.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know where that is. I just gonna drive there.
I think you're very close to Hofstra.
Okay, if you say so.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. But the breaking point for a six pack of beer, yeah, $20, that might be a bridge too far. I might look for the $12 to $14 option.
Yeah.
And I might just have to like put a lime in my beer and drink a Corona instead. And I can do that.
Mm.
I'm
sure there's some tariffs slapped on Mexico too.
When are they saying that those prices are gonna go up? Soon? Or have they already?
I think they're coming. I don't know.
In about, I don't know, 7 or 8 hours, Valdez and I will be sharing beers at MGM tonight. And we're not going to care about the price. Not going to care.
Because you're getting it comped.
It might be comped. It might be a comp involved.
What's your go-to? Do you always just say, like, do you always just pick, like, an IPA? I never know what to say. I just say IPA.
I like IPAs.
I have an IPA.
Yeah, but there's different types of IPAs.
I know.
Yeah, you got to get the hazy.
Get a hazy. I've said there's a hazy West Coast. IPA. I don't even know what I'm doing.
Hazy IPA is standard.
Yeah. I don't know.
You just got to say, I want your strongest
IPA. I tend to go by the seasons. Like for spring, summer, I go with a lighter beer. Once we get into fall and winter, I like Oktoberfest beer with a little more thickness to them, like a stout. Especially when you get closer to Christmas.
We haven't talked about this in years, but we won a contest at the Sam Adams Brewery where Sam Adams gave us free beer for a year.
Oh, what a great deal. Yeah.
And they legitimately would come by and drop off 20 cases
at
a time.
Bonanza.
I feel like they did that for more
like
than
monthly.
A year.
Like
they did that for a
like
long
cases
time.
Literally stacked from the floor almost to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Like 20 or
that's,
25
you know,
at a time.
That's probably where Cakes became an alcoholic.
It was my nirvana.
It would take an hour to get the cases out to the car.
It's an amazing time. It's a great time. Those were the salad days.
Hey, coming up next, Mike Rizzo is going to join us, the president of baseball ops of your Washington Nationals here on the Junkies.